For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. You probably heard the old phrase, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Now, one has to wonder if that dynamic is playing out in this time of pandemic and racial unrest, specifically in regards to the so-called Red Summer of 1919. Now, here to weigh in is Connecticut State historian Walt Woodward. In what ways, Walt, do you see the late 19-teens, if I may call it that, in this state and in this country repeating itself now?
I'm not sure it's actually repeating itself, but there certainly are a lot of resonances between what we're living through now and what people experienced in 1919. Three of them in particular stand out. The first one is that in 1919, a pandemic had completely disrupted people's lives. At both 1919 and 2020 experienced a severe economic crisis. Now, in Connecticut in 1919, that economic crisis was even worse than in a lot of other places because we had this highly defense-oriented economy then as we do now. That's the second resonance. The third one is that both then and now, there was widespread racial confrontation. And in both years, it was sparked by this combination of white-on-black violence and a determined activism on the part of African Americans then and now, that they just weren't going to put up with racism as usual anymore. Suffice it to say, 1919 was one of the most violent and disturbing years of racial confrontation in American history since the Civil War, no question about it. More than 100 African Americans were lynched between 1918 and 1919. Some were burned to death. It was an awful time.
You know, during the flu pandemic of 100 years ago, were people and policymakers more or less receptive to recommendations of scientists compared with right now?
It's a great question. Connecticut did mobilize resources statewide. They did develop guidelines statewide. But for most things, they let local initiative decide. As for people, they did a pretty good job for a long time of following the specific guidelines that the state had come up with and spread things like don't breathe other people's breath, keep your mouth clean, brush your teeth, clean your throat all the time, stay warm, don't spit. They did that for a while. But on the other hand, there was a thing in the Bridgeport Times just before the height of the pandemic that said all you have to do is walk around the streets in the morning. You can see there's more people spitting in the streets than there ever was before. They're supposed to spread themselves out in the trolley cars. They're packed in like sardines in morning and evening. People on the beaches. The record is a little bit mixed in 1918 and 19, and it's certainly a little bit mixed in 2020.
You often hear some people talking about outside agitators. You hear that talk today involving themselves in these protests for racial justice that we've seen. Did you hear that kind of talk 100 years ago?
Oh, you absolutely did. There's no question about it. And, you know, this is in 1918, there'd been the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, and there was a lot of labor unrest in America that wasn't just racial unrest as a result of this wartime transition. And there was a great fear, I think, widespread in the country that they called them Bolshevik then, that Bolshevik agitators were infiltrating the black movement to try to undermine the country and overthrow the nation. And I think it's really easy. You know, problems are complex, and certainly a pandemic, an economic crisis, it doesn't admit of easy solutions. The causes, there aren't single causes for any serious problem, but people want answers. The alternative to having quick fixes and easy answers is to live with uncertainty, use the best information you have, and grope your way forward. For a lot of people, that's unacceptable. It's much easier to find a scapegoat, brand them, and stick with that. So you had it in 1918, 1919. You have it in 2020. I think you have it any time people are faced with a really complex and difficult situation that doesn't admit of kind of easy answers. We create them anyway.
You know, both 100 years ago and today, there seems to be a lot of blame going around, even down to 100 years ago calling the pandemic the Spanish flu. Then, of course, now the president wants to constantly call the coronavirus the Wuhan flu or some other variation of names I won't repeat. What are some truisms about human nature that showed themselves in both of these two periods of great adversity?
Naming the location of viruses is a tricky thing. The Spanish flu, as I called it in 1918, we now know actually originated in Kansas, was taken by American soldiers over to Europe and brought back. So if we want to get it right, we can now go back and call the Spanish flu the Kansas flu, which would, then I guess you have to rethink a lot of the arguments from that time. I don't know. That goes back to the scapegoating. We want to be able to pin our problems on simple solutions. And if they can be, if it's a solution that you can actually feel antagonistic toward, that's even better.
What does 1919 tell us about what happens next?
I think what most likely happens next in terms of black and white relations is that there will be some change. How extensive remains to be seen. There will be some change, and I suspect it will be lasting. In terms of the pandemic, it seems that as a result of the 1918 pandemic, because it was put in this context of the war, the wartime recovery, life was different for about 4 or 5 years, and then people just put their heads down and they moved on. There are many things that could change at the end of this pandemic. I think we've got a number of big rough patches we've got to get through ahead of us in the short and the midterm. Then we'll find out. If we have the same conversation in a year, we can sit down and talk, and then maybe we can make some real forecasts about what the long-term effect of this is going to be.
Connecticut State historian Walt Woodward, thank you so much for the time.
It's my pleasure.